Hey friends, before we get started, I wanted to let you know that the Systems and Workflow Magic podcast is fueled by Riverside. Now, Riverside is my podcasting and now my YouTube video recording studio of choice, and they make it super easy to record remote podcasts and video interviews that look and sound like they are recorded in a million-dollar studio. Now, I started using Riverside because the sound quality was incredibly awful with Zoom, and sometimes myself or my guests would have really bad internet connections. And I found a great solution with Riverside because, unlike other platforms that save your recordings directly to your cloud, Riverside saves it on your device first. And this helps maintain recording quality regardless of internet connection, which I love. So after years of recording with Zoom, I am so happy I made the switch to Riverside because the quality of my audio sounds so much better. And now I can also create AI-generated show notes with a click of a button. I can create clips for Reels and YouTube Shorts and for Instagram stories. I can also create a transcription of my podcast or even YouTube video and rewrite it for blogging purposes. The fact that I can streamline my podcast recording process and YouTube content creation process means the world to my systems and workflow love and heart. Now, if you are ready to have a seamless podcast or YouTube experience with Riverside, head on over to the show notes after listening to this podcast to snag my affiliate link and get Riverside for as low as $15 a month. So Dubsado is also another company that fuels the Systems and Workflow Magic brand on a daily basis. If you are new to owning your own business, you'll quickly discover that having a great CRM tool, which is a customer relationship management tool, is an essential component to running the back end of your business, especially if you're working one-on-one with clients. Dubsado's mission is to help you automate your work, grow your business, and get back your time with powerful workflows. Now, there are tons of CRM tools out there, and it's hard to know who to trust. But what I love most about Dubsado are the people behind the business, because they go above and beyond with customer support because they want you to run your business seamlessly. Yes, even as a small business owner. So if you are looking for a CRM tool that will not only house your workflows, invoices, questionnaires, contact forms, proposals, and so much more, you can get started with Dubsado if you go to the show notes, and you can get a special code for 30% off your monthly or yearly subscription when you use my code DollyDeLongEducation, all one word, at checkout. This is the easiest yes for your business because Dubsado will work for you while you are away from your desk. Again, head on over to the show notes and use code DollyDeLongEducation at checkout to snag 30% off your yearly or monthly subscription. Welcome to the Systems and Workflow Magic podcast, where I help entrepreneurs go from scattered to streamlined in their creative businesses. I'm your host, Dolly DeLong, a wife, a mom, and a photographer turned systems educator. Join me every week as we have conversations centered around creating tactical workflows and automations in your business. Now, let's make some strategic workflow magic. Hi, and welcome back to another episode of the Systems and Workflow Magic podcast. I am your systems and workflow BFF and guide, Dolly. And I just want to say thank you so much for coming back to listen to another episode. So, friend, I do have a question for you. What do you think of when I say the phrase brand strategy? Like, you see, most people understand the importance of having a brand strategy or even a brand messaging strategy. And they may hire a strategist or a copywriter to create it for them. And maybe it resonates with them and they feel good about using it in their business. But then what? Like, what do they do after that? So a brand messaging system is how to take all of your messaging components and establish them in a system that you and maybe your team members, if you have people working for you, can implement consistently and cohesively across all of your platforms. So again, you can definitely develop more authority in your field. You can be seen as an expert. So that is why I have invited my new friend, Grace Griffith, on the podcast to chat about this very system today. Now, she is going to be sharing three essential pieces of brand messaging that require a strategy and a system to implement effectively. So before we jump into the strategy session, Grace, do you mind giving a more formal introduction or a more personal whatever type of introduction you want to give to the audience so that they can get to know you a little bit more?
Thank you so much for that introduction. My name is Grace Griffith, and I am a brand messaging strategist and copywriter. And what that typically looks like in my business is I help people discover the words that would translate to their audience to help them understand how their business can serve their needs. And so That looks like copywriting. It looks like writing copy for websites and email marketing. But sometimes that looks like brand messaging strategy and then building a system around that. And so what that means is I help them uncover the language that their audience uses to describe their problems and the solutions that they're after and understand the specific questions that they're asking and then format all of their messaging to answer those questions and to align what they're saying to what their audience is thinking so that they're making that connection between their business and what is showing up for them in their life or in their business, depending on what the service they provide or the product that they have. I'm also a mom. I have two kids. Dolly and I were just talking about our kiddos because we have some the same age. My oldest is 5 and she just lost her first tooth. And I am really struggling because life is moving so fast.
Yeah.
So balancing business and motherhood and all the life that happens in between is definitely something that I think about often. And so systemizing all of that, it's one of the reasons why I listen to Dolly's podcast, because I get so many ideas there. And yeah, Dolly, thank you so much for everything that you're sharing here, because it's super, super helpful as a listener. I implement a lot of this stuff. Yeah.
Well, I will share with the audience that Grace and I met in person at the Creative Educator Conference in January, led by Laylee Amati. So thank you, Laylee, for introducing us. And Grace, you just came up to me and introduced yourself to me. And I was like, wow, somebody listens to the podcast. Because sometimes I'm like, is anybody listening to this podcast? I love teaching about systems and workflows. But does anybody actually listen? You know, my husband listens out of sympathy because he's like, my husband. I'm like, is anybody else listening? So Grace, I should be thanking you because you, like, when you came up to me and were like, I love your podcast. I was like, wow.
Oh yeah, I meant it. I meant every word. It's so great seeing people that you meet online in person and then, having that real in-person conversation and connecting the dots is so, so amazing. But yes.
Yeah. And it was really cool knowing and finding out that you also have a child who is the same age as Blaze. So we have that connection point and we're in the same life stage. So it was fun. Thank you again for being on the podcast and for connecting. And I'm really excited about you sharing more about this, just like brand messaging strategy, because I will be honest with you, like sometimes I feel like I have so much to offer to my listeners, to my own audience, to my own clients, but yet I don't know how to say it concisely without sharing a thesis that people are going to fall asleep after one sentence of me talking about. I'm like, how do I like cohesively talk about what I do in a way that makes sense? So I'm really excited that you're going to share a strategy with us.
Yes, I'm excited to share too.
Yeah. Okay. So let's just dive into the strategy session and feel free to lead the conversation. And I will be taking lots of notes and asking you questions. And so, learning from you.
Yeah, sure. So there's three pieces of brand messaging that we'll be talking about today. And yeah, like you said, Dolly, stop me if you have any questions. But the first one that I start with first, because it really is, it should be the starting point for any brand messaging strategy, and that is voice of customer research. And your audience is probably familiar with like market research, right? Like market research, understanding what their competition is and the products and services that are already offered in your niche or in your industry. But voice of customer research is narrowing in on the words and the language, what I was saying before, the ways that your audience is describing their needs, what their desires are, their pain points, what they're looking for, the specific, even the products and services that they're already using, how they're describing those, because that helps you understand how to talk about what you do and what you offer. And so lots of copywriters do this, as offer this as a service to businesses, but I think it's something that is so, it's such an intimate process with your audience, understanding their language. And so I always encourage business owners to establish the strategy and figure out a system around the strategy within your own standard operating procedure. So is that, if that's just you, if you're a solopreneur, you need to have a way of going about that. If you have a virtual assistant, having some sort of strategy and even like a schedule for how often you will visit this language, particularly always do it before a launch, but to know, okay, what is resonating with my audience? And I always like to use this example just to give an example of like how voice of customer research can be really beneficial to you for your marketing. So I work with a lot of teacher business owners. So they're, some of them are still teaching or some of them have left the classroom and they have their own business. And this teacher, she helps other teachers fight burnout and deal with burnout. And so she has a course. And one of the things that her course equips teachers to do is to establish boundaries, because that's one of the ways that you can, and that's just, that works in life, right? So we did voice of customer research to see if that was resonating with our audience, to kind of test that language. And we found they weren't really using the word boundaries. The word that they were using was balance. Everybody was after finding balance. And so even though her course helped people establish boundaries, because that was the approach to establish balance, balance was the transformation. Boundaries was like the path to get there. And so that little tweak made a huge difference and even just gave her more clarity for how to present her offer to her audience. And so that's an example of how voice of customer research can really make your offer more, can resonate more. And the way that you gather that research is the system that you create around it, and the way that you implement it is the system that you can create around it. And so we can talk about that a little bit before I go into the next one.
Can we definitely, can you share some examples of how one would start collecting voice of customer? It's because you think, like you were sharing, Grace, you think you know what your ideal client wants and needs, and then they are communicating this totally different thing that, kind of like is in alignment with what you do, but and you do offer it. It's like counseling, like marriage therapy counseling. Like when, okay, so I will give a real life example. So when my husband and I were engaged, we did premarital counseling and just like where we live, that was a requirement. And so we did that. It was fun. It was fun for us getting to know each other even more. Our communication styles we discovered are so different. So I will just like make fun of myself. This was like 8 or 9 years ago. And we had the counselor sat us down. And so he had my husband Ty say something. And then he said, okay, Dolly, can you repeat back what Ty just said? And I said something totally different. And it was so hysterical. And the counselor was like, this is why, like, we are doing this so that you two can be on the same page and you can learn each other's communication styles. But this kind of, for me, I don't know if this was a great example or not, but this just makes me think we are talking to our clients, but they're hearing something totally different and interpreting it in a totally different way. And so that's why it's really good to, I guess, like try to find that balance of being on the same page.
Yes. And oh my goodness, I think this is so important for every season of your business or every developmental stage of your business, because even if you've been in business for years and years, you can get complacent with your understanding of your audience. And so having a system for discovering this language and just revisiting it is really important. Practical, tactical examples. Yeah. So surveys are really underrated when it comes to this. They can be so helpful and super, super easy and super, super simple. So probably the easiest form of a survey that you can do is literally put two questions in your email and link those to somewhere on your page and have people click on those and add some sort of tag to that click so that you can identify those people. But basically, having people answer a question on your email list that is phrased a certain way or just answers a specific question for you that you're wondering. A lot of people do these in Instagram, and because there's so many ways to do it and super easy ways to do it, but your email list is going to be your warmest audience. And so I don't think people do that enough. And I think that could be a really helpful way. But then you could also just do a Google form. That's an extra click for your audience to have to, it adds a step to the journey, but Google Forms are really nice because they can arrange your data in a really pretty way in a spreadsheet, yeah. And that can be super, super helpful. So having surveys, especially before you launch a new product, another way to do that is when you're doing a beta launch or you're doing like a live launch and you are wanting to record those sessions or those classes and turn that into your course that you offer evergreen. Having surveys embedded throughout that process can help you understand how to market that when you do your actual launch. And so you don't have to sit on this voice. This doesn't have to be this huge in-depth process that keeps you from taking action. It can be something that you weave into your process as you are iterating on your product while you launch, before you launch, all throughout. So that's one example. Testimonials, obviously, are a really great way to gather voice of customer because they're your actual customers. They've paid you. So you want to gather those and ask strategic questions as well. And I know that, Dolly, you've talked about this, but having automation set up so it's super easy to gather those testimonials. I really loved how, like, I've received emails from you asking to just go ahead and rate and review the podcast because it's so easy to do. And that's a really great way for you to get testimonials and language for the podcast, but you're literally automating that process for yourself. And so that's a really easy way to get that, to get those words. Another thing that I love to do is to go to my competition's testimonials and to other people in the industry who I know offer similar services. And I know that our audiences are aligned, and look at how their audience is describing the service or the product that they've had. Because since our audience is aligned, they'll probably answer my same questions about the pain points that it's serving and the solutions that they're after, the questions that they have. And so that's a really, if you don't have testimonials yet, which a lot of people starting out for the first time don't, that's a really great way to do that research.
I love that. That's some good advice. How do you toe the line of when you do that competition, the competitor research, how you're not comparing yourself, you're not going down that like negative, like,
yes,
I don't know. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Spiraling. You just begin spiraling and you're like, great, I'm not as good as XYZ doing this. And you're still towing the line of professionalism. You're not copying them, but yet you're not spiraling.
Yes. I know exactly what you're talking about because comparison will kill your creativity. I put actual numerical boundaries in my mind when I'm doing this. And so I won't look at more than three different competitors.
Gotcha.
Maybe just two. And that way I keep myself really focused on just those two people. I'm looking at their testimonials and then I'm done. Because you can spiral. Maybe set a timer and just look at their website, look at their testimonials, and then just be done. Because you do need to be aware of what's offered in the industry. you do need to see, okay, this is how this person does it. But you know, I have my own way, and this is another way that I can stand out. And so you do risk going into that comparison spiral for sure. But yeah, it's also an opportunity for you to see how you can differentiate yourself. And so it's, being a business owner is always a personal development journey.
Oh man, it is. But it's like, you gotta say, it's therapy. It's constant therapy for yourself.
It really is. And you are never going to be immune to comparing yourself to other people. But it's still important to understand what else is out there, what else is being offered, and to consider it a growth opportunity for you as well. And it's important, but yes, we are all human and can fall mm-hmm. into that comparison trap. And so I think having very specific boundaries around how you do that is very crucial.
I love that. Thank you so much for letting me ask you that, because I'm sure I'm really hoping it'll encourage one or two listeners who are listening in to this episode that like it is possible to toe the line and not to spiral, but at the same time to be fully aware, like you do have competition, and put your feelers out there without spiraling, without going down that dark path that happens to all of us. I will say along this example, because I was just thinking about this example, how I do voice of customer research for my products or for my freebies. Hopefully this will help. I add a Google form to my thank you pages. So when somebody downloads a freebie or downloads some sort of product from me, they're immediately, instead of taken to a blank confirmation page, thank you, check your email. Instead, it goes to a thank you page. It says, hey, check your email for the product. But before you leave, do you mind answering this one simple question for me? And it pertains to that download. Why did they download it? And so I'm getting more voice of customer. So it does work, listeners. It really does work. It takes time to gather, but it's totally worth it in the long run.
Yes, that's a great idea. I wrote that one down.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Yes. And that's something that your virtual assistant can do. It's something that you can do. ChatGPT can help you with this process too. And I have ideas to share in a little bit about that. But it really can be very, very simple and can make a huge difference.
So let's go into, we've gathered, we understand like voice of customer research. We're making a system for ourselves to do this. Can I ask you this? How often or how long do you think normally it takes to build traction for this from your experience working with the smaller business owner who only is a team of one? Like how long does this normally take realistically?
Goodness, it really depends on your process.
Yeah.
And depends on how the different layers that you have. So let's say, for example, you're launching a product and you're starting from scratch. You have nothing. You are spending some time. Let's say you're setting the timer for no more than 20 minutes to look at your competition and look at their testimonials. You are setting up a form in a Google form to send to your email list with specific questions. So you're getting that data, you're looking at all of it. I think you could do it probably within 2 to 3 hours I don't know that it's a one sit down type of thing for 1 to 2 hours because you still have to put those things in place. But collectively, it's about 2 to 3 hours, I think.
Gotcha. No, that's really helpful. Like I want the listeners listening, like this just doesn't need to be like a long-term project for you, which it should be like always running in the back burner. But also if it's a short term like goal of yours, you can start collecting that voice of customer. And also I'm a firm believer in this, make it if not a monthly workflow for yourself to always be like doing voice of customer research, because your services are going to ebb and flow. Your digital products are going to ebb and flow. Your business is going to ebb and flow. So like Grace mentioned this earlier, don't just get comfortable like assuming you know what your clients or your future clients want. You have got to like bring your A game like all the time. I don't want to say it all the time because that sounds like really stressful, but you really have to be on top of it and set yourself up for success.
Yeah. And it gives you confidence too. It helps you know, okay, I know what I'm offering. I know it's a need. I know people want it.
Yeah.
So
I love that. I love that. Yes. Okay.
All right. So the next one is having a brand voice guide. And a lot of big companies have this because they have a lot of people writing for them and they need standard operating procedures for their writers. Now, for a small business owner, the way this looks is really just establishing clarity for yourself, because there are so many small businesses out there and we are being inundated with lots and lots of language. The way that you make yourself stand out in a lot of ways is not just being clear, but also being consistent. Mm-hmm. And so if you have decided, okay, I'm going to use sentences that are short, long, short, long, short, long, or I'm going to use grammar that sounds like this, or I'm going to talk this way, or I'm going to have a casual voice, or I'm going to talk sophisticated. That consistency is going to resonate with your audience. And that is also going to help you stand out, because when someone reads your stuff, before they see who it's from, they're going to know, oh, this is Dolly's voice. This sounds super tactical and practical and granular. I know exactly who this is because this is how Dolly talks to us. And so that's how you stand out, is by having that clarity. And then another reason why having a voice guide is really important, because we have tools like ChatGPT where you can, I don't know if you've done this, Dolly, but you can now create a GPT within ChatGPT. And train it to write a certain way. And you can have like different GPTs that, like, for different projects and different voices. If you talk one way on Instagram, you can have a GPT for that. If you have a different, slightly different style for emails, you can have one for that. And it's so interesting because you can also, I did this yesterday and it was amazing. You can upload files to ChatGPT. And it will scan all of it, internalize all of that text, and then and analyze it for you, and then create upon that. So if you have a brand guide, like if you have a copywriter create a brand guide for you or a brand voice guide for you, they usually look really pretty. And so you upload that file. It's not a Google Doc. You upload that file to ChatGPT or to your GPT, and they pull all that text. And then you've trained this GPT, I call it my copywriter assistant, to write following all of those rules. And you can tell it, have sentence length like this, use this type of vocabulary. And so like vocabulary is another example of something that you would want to have in your brand voice guide that ChatGPT is, it can be helpful. As a copywriter, I still am very aware of the limitations of a tool, of all AI, really. But they are getting smarter. And something that can help you do is transform something that someone else has written for you and train it to use your vocabulary and your voice so it sounds more like you. So yeah, that's how a brand voice guide works for your business. Even if you're a solopreneur, it really helps you automate and systemize the way you sound. Yeah.
Have you heard about my new favorite marketing system, Engie? Engie is marketing software for small business owners who have to do their own marketing but aren't marketing experts, which is most of us, right? It has everything you need to find clarity about your marketing and get consistent with it, because not only can you create a marketing strategy customized to your business in minutes, you also get the tools you need to then do your marketing strategy with tons of recommendations and guidance. It's like having a marketing assistant in your pocket, and I love it. So if you've been looking for a way to feel confident and organized about the precious time you spend working on your marketing, you should definitely try Engie out. Go to www.engie.co, that's E-N-J-I, to learn more, and click on the link in the show notes if you want to get 15% off of your first 2 months after your free trial. With Engie, you can totally begin a marketing system that works for you.
So, Grace, you were talking about creating and using a brand voice guide, and you gave some great examples of why establishing that would be great. I love that you reminded the listeners this helps you develop a standard operating procedure for how your VAs or OBMs or anybody who works for you can take your voice and type it out. Or because realistically, for those of you who are listening, you most likely want to grow your business. And that means hiring out. Maybe it may not mean hiring out right now. You're still doing everything on your own, but like later on. So that's why it's really important to develop this system for yourself now, organizing it in one hub. And I do this in Trello. I have a hub in Trello where I keep my, like, I call it my master operations board. And one of the columns is all dedicated to like my voice brand guide, so that if somebody does end up working with me, they know exactly like how I sound, how to write things out, and all that stuff.
Yeah, so smart. It's so easy to go to that. It helps that transition right away. So the last one is how to systemize the way you position your value. Mm-hmm. And so where voice of customer research helps you be clear and a brand voice guide helps you be consistent with the way that you sound, how systemizing how you position your value is going to help you have a system around being compelling to your audience. And so you offer value through your courses or your education or whatever it is, your product, your service, whatever that is. But positioning is how you take the psychological triggers and the psychological tools that help your audience engage with what it is that you are providing them. That is what's building value in their minds, right? So positioning value is really more about the psychology around it, so that you have a system around that, so it gets easier and easier every time. This is going to lean more on your SOPs for how you write sales emails, sales pages, because there's different ways that people interpret value. And so you need to have a system to make sure that you are positioning and hitting all of the marks for the ways that different people interpret that. So for example, a lot of people make their decisions out of emotion. And there are different brand messages that emulate or create that emotional value for people. A really great example is stories. When you tell stories of a transformation that you were able to create for yourself or for your audience or for a client, that is creating emotional value in your product that someone is gathering from your email or whatever platform you're using to communicate this story. And testimonials are an example of that. A portfolio piece or a case study can also provide that emotional value. And a way that you can systemize that is collecting those stories and collecting those examples and categorizing them based on the feelings that it draws out for your audience. So I did this for a client. She has a really cool business. She has a bus and she has decked it all out to create a little classroom inside of this bus. And she teaches classes, an art bus, but it's like school inside the bus. And it's so cute.
And so she just goes around to people and
she has like different spots in the community that she stops. And so like her bus is a vehicle of marketing. People see it. Like people know this bus.
And it's, my jaw just dropped.
Like, I
for
know,
those of you who can't see me, my jaw just dropped. That's amazing. That's so smart.
But the trick with marketing and with messaging for her is it's brand new. Nobody understands what it is until we explain it to them. Mm-hmm. And so we've had to do a lot of voice of customer research to use the words that parents use to describe this bus so that other people understand, okay, what exactly happens on the bus? She's not going to people's houses. She's stopping at parks and outside of other businesses that she's partnering with. And she's doing these short little workshops with kids and teaching them how to write, teaching them how to read. And the way that we gather those stories from parents, we organize them based on the different feelings and the different experiences that their students have had. And so then when we write emails that focus on reading struggles, we have all those testimonials that talk about the feelings that you have as a parent when your child is having a hard time reading, and the same for writing or the same for math. And so it's so easy to grab and pull those stories and testimonials because they're all organized by category. Yeah. And you're not just scrolling and scrolling and scrolling from that spreadsheet that you've gotten from your Google form. It's just all there and it's all organized. And you can just grab and pull. That's for emotional value. Then the other types of value that people internalize are, okay, how much, what kind of a deal is this? Mm-hmm. And what kind of time am I going to need to put into this course? Or what kind of time is going to be involved? How are you saving me time by doing this service for me? And so the way that you talk about your prices, the way that you talk about your timelines, that is another vehicle for positioning your value, because your audience is going to have a certain number in their minds that's going to feel like a steal to them, or that's going to feel, okay, this is extremely valuable.
Yeah.
But another way, so like for pricing, here's an example. Anchor pricing references the number that you give to, or the number that is already in your audience's mind when you give it your price. Sometimes you can use the priming effect, which is something that just prime your audience for the type of number that they can expect. Whether you give them a range, whether you say, you could pay this much money to have someone do all of this for you, and I've done all the work and made you a template, so you can just use my template. You don't have to research all these different things. So giving those anchors for, yeah, pricing and time really,
yeah,
helps people understand and articulate, okay, this makes sense. It's just logically makes sense. And so the way that you phrase that and the way that you're consistent about that is going to be really helpful. And that's for timing, that's for pricing, that's for when, how you compare your value with, or your, the way that you facilitate the experience or package the product with the way that other, like your competition, packages the product. That can be something that creates that logic for you. And then also stacking, the way that you stack your value. Like on sales pages, you think about, okay, for a course sales page, usually there's that spot right in the middle or near the end, right? Okay, you're getting this many hours of course video, and you're getting these templates, and you're getting this coaching, and you're getting this community group. And all that is there because when you see all those things back to back to back to back to back, it makes you think, oh my goodness, okay, this really is a good deal. And so doing that consistently across your social media, across your emails, that's something that's really going to help you too. So just establishing those systems and SOPs for creating that value is going to help you stay consistent. It's going to help your messaging and help other people understand, okay, this is exactly what I need.
And I was just thinking about this, Grace, while you were sharing these examples, because you're going to have different categories, like you were sharing, different trigger points that will actually speak to your audience, because some of your audience might be very emotional. Like I am an emotional buyer, for example. Mm-hmm. I will see, like Publix is a perfect example for me to go shopping there, because they know how to pull at my heartstrings with commercials that have nothing to do with grocery shopping, but everything to do with the relationships that are being made in the home. There, I will share this example and then we'll go on. But when I was pregnant with my firstborn, so this was like 6 years ago, I was at home alone and a Publix commercial came on, and it was about this mom making a Thanksgiving meal for her son coming from college. And she like made all of his favorite things, and she wasn't able to connect with him because he had just come home from college. He was visiting his, you know, like his high school friends, like, you know, like the typical stuff that college students do when they're coming home for the holidays. They're like, they're reconnecting with their friends. And then this mom is just like, I really hope I can connect with her son, with my son. I can talk with him. And then at the very end of the commercial, he cancels his friends, cancels his plans with his friends because he wants to have pie that the mom had bought from Publix. And I started sobbing. And then my husband, of course, walked in. He's, what happened to you? And I'm like, I'm going to make a pie for our son when he comes to visit from college. And he's, oh, okay. But I am the emotional buyer. I will then shop more at Publix because I'm like, yes, like I will. I'm like building, making these foods and making these emotional connections for my sons, now sons. But anyways, I will say, yes, I will 100% say I am the emotional buyer. But on the flip side, when I'm creating content for myself, I also need to create content for the logical buyer, for the buyer who is like thinking, how will this save me time? How will this make me healthier? Or how will this save me money or whatever? So I also need to hit up on those different categories. So I'm so glad you pointed that out. Don't just organize your content based off of your personality. Organize your content based on the different emotions as well, because this will also help you, the listener, create social media captions for like whenever you are either, it doesn't matter if you're in promotional phase, marketing phase, you're in the pre-launch phase, whatever phase you are in, like talking about your different services or offers, you can hit those levers and trigger points based on digging into, like you were sharing, Grace, like you have collected all of those testimonials, you've collected your voice of customer, you've collected that. Now, like, it's like grabbing, and does this make sense?
Yeah.
Or am I just
Yeah. Well, and that made me think about too, when you're in a launch and you're talking about pre-launch, launch, and post-launch, you want to appeal to those different ones throughout that phase. Like in pre-launch, you're going to focus more on logical value because that's when you can prime your audience to like price anchor. And so you're giving, and time anchor, you're giving them all those anchor points so that when you actually sell, they know all these different references and they're making decisions on their own. Whereas towards the end of the launch, you probably want to appeal to their emotions more because that urgency is they're feeling the FOMO a little bit. And so, yeah, definitely. And have that pace and that structure throughout that campaign. It's really important.
I love it. I love that you shared, I think chatting about value positioning, standard operating procedures was really, it's probably my favorite point from this conversation because it's so important to like remind ourselves to, I don't know, categorize these different testimonials because they really will be valuable for different phases of like our marketing, our promotions, our launches, especially if we want to, I don't know, like sell consistently and bring in clients consistently.
Yeah, for sure. And save your time too.
Yes, exactly.
So you're not digging and trying to categorize that in the middle of a launch. It's not fun.
Exactly. Especially, yeah, I'm glad you said that because your brain is mush. Like when, depending upon what phase of a launch you're in, you still need to be very, you need to show up in some way, shape or form. So it's good to have this all organized ahead of time. So just in case your brain is mush, you can just like pull from a certain
drag
category.
Drag and drop, copy and paste. Yes.
Yes.
Easy.
Awesome. Grace, I know we've been chatting for over 40 minutes now. I can't believe how fast the time went. Thank you so much for sharing such a great strategy session with my audience. Speaking of like, how can a person find you, work with you? Are you taking clients? What does it look like to take the next steps with you?
Oh, so you can find me on Instagram at Grace Marie Griffith. And then my website is gracemariegriffith.com. You can find my resources there. I have workshops, kits, templates. I do take copywriting clients, but I just had a baby recently. And so I'm gradually getting into the swing of things. And so my wait list is going to look a little different right now. But yeah, I definitely am taking more clients right now. So let's connect and we can talk about your project.
And Grace, I do have to give you props for your website. I was looking through it I think a few days ago, like when I was writing up our show notes for this, and I was like, your website is so beautiful and so compelling. So whoever designed your website did an incredible job. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
As a copywriter, you'd be surprised, but it is really difficult to write for yourself.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that means a lot to me. That feels really good to hear.
It's great. I was like, I need this. I need to hire her. I was just like reading everything. I was like, Grace is amazing. I'm so glad she's coming on the podcast.
Oh, but yeah, you thank you, Dolly.
As business owners, we need to hear that. Like all of our
work is
converting. So it's definitely, if, for those of you who are listening, please go and visit Grace's website. Check it out. It's gorgeous. Go follow her on Instagram. And just, she has a lot of value to offer and give, and she has a lot to share with you. So Grace, I'm so glad you were on the podcast. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Dolly.
Definitely. I will be sure to put all of your links in the show notes so that if you're listening in, go and take the next step and give her a follow after this episode. Until then, you all have a streamlined and magical week, you amazing muggle you. I'll come at you next week. That sounded a little aggressive. I will come at you next week. I will come with a new podcast episode next week. How about that? All that, a new system or a workflow to educate you on. And until then, I will talk to you all later. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Systems and Workflow Magic podcast. You can find full show notes from today's episode at www.systemsandworkflowmagic.com/podcast. If you are loving the podcast, I would be so honored if you could subscribe on your favorite podcast player, leave a 5-star review, and share it with another business friend who also needs help with systems, workflows, and SOPs. Be sure to screenshot this episode, share it to your stories, and tag me at Dolly DeLong Education over on Instagram. Until then, go and make some strategic workflow magic.